This is Faith Matters on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life, the trials, the tribulations, and the triumphs. Discussions about how faith matters to you and our community. Only on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. Support for Faith Matters is brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine. Now, here are your hosts, Ryan Price and David Cruz.
Welcome to Faith Matters. I'm Ryan Price, along with David Cruz on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. And today we are sitting here with our guest, Beth Pratt, who is the religion editor, former religion editor for the Lubbock Avalanche Journal for 25 years, and is a columnist there to this day. And you are actually listening to the second part of a two-part conversation that we've had with Beth. You can listen to the previous conversation on our website at kttz.org. Beth, so wonderful to have you here with us today.
Lubbock has over 200 faith communities. And I say faith communities because that would include churches, the synagogue or temples or mosques, I guess. Over the years, and you wrote for 25 years about religion in Lubbock, with that many churches, is Lubbock any more religious than other communities, comparable in size? If it is, then how do we explain some of the issues, some of the social problems that we have? Why can't we seem to overcome them with so many temples and places of worship and so much emphasis placed on religion and spiritual things?
That's a good question, and if I had the answer, I probably could set up shop and make some money on it. That is a difficult question. I will say my first introduction really to this whole world of other groups outside my own actually came with the job, and it was so happened that I started to work about 2 weeks before the Diocese of Lubbock was created. And so it was a marvelous opportunity for me to get acquainted with Catholics and the process of setting up a diocese. It was one of the best educational opportunities I could have had, and I believe God put it there because He knew I needed some education. And, Baptists have been noted for being anti-Catholic historically. And
you're a Baptist.
I'm a Baptist. That's why I use Baptist as an example. But by the same token, Catholics also kind of chased down those rebaptizers and were pretty mean to them back in our history. So we all carry a lot of baggage, but it was a wonderful opportunity. And I found that, I find even today, that when you say religion, people only think here of Christian groups. And so now I usually say to my, when I am speaking, now I'm not talking about our differences between the Baptist and the Methodist and the Catholics. I'm talking about other religions, and then I name those if it's appropriate in what I'm doing. But it's been a wonderful opportunity, and it's been certainly instructive for me.
So, David, are you basically saying, what with all the big steeples we have in this city, are we any more about either the teachings of Jesus or the teachings of Muhammad or the teachings of Moses than any other city in this country?
Well, I think it just goes to the question, is religion making a difference? Now, I know my position. I'd like to believe that it is, because I would argue, geez, if it wasn't for all those houses of worship, then we'd really be in a big old pickle jar, you know? We'd be a mess, even more so. An objective outsider might look at Lubbock and say, geez, with all those churches, they seem to have a pretty high crime rate. They seem to have a
high STD rate, high teenage pregnancy rate.
Exactly. All kinds of moral issues. Domestic violence is an issue that weighs on me and I know on all of us. These questions are hard to pose. We don't like to pose them, and I don't necessarily like to pose it either. But if we don't ask those questions, people will think we're not very credible, and maybe even worse, that we're naive.
I think that there's a problem in that there are a lot of smaller cities that have churches on practically every corner. I don't think we can measure who's most religious. And I do think there's a difference between being, quote, religious and being spiritual. And
I want to go back to that when we come back. You're listening to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts.
You're listening to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts with your hosts Ryan Price and David Cruz. Brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. And today we're sitting here with Beth Pratt, who is the former religion editor of the Lubbock Avalanche Journal and continues to write her column weekly there for the AJ. And before the break, Beth, we were talking about, do churches make a difference? And I'm just looking down at one of the headlines that you wrote in your column not too long ago. Community is about working together for the good of all. And we were essentially saying, does the church, does it make a difference? And if so, how would we know if either a church or a mosque or a synagogue are making a difference for the community as a whole? And the way that I look at this is sometimes I think of the little bit of leaven that rises the whole loaf. I see that as a calling to be that kind of community.
I remember years ago when really my first contact with the mosque here came about when they had a program with one of their end of their religious holidays to have the homeless come, and they were going to feed them. Now, they picked that up from the Christian community. They were trying to do a similar thing. So I would say that we do influence one another. They looked at what the majority Christian community was doing, and it was a part of that faith event to do good works for others. And so, yes, I think we do affect one another in a lot of different ways. One of the things that distressed me within the Christian community when I was interviewing churches and pastors and people, I would say somebody would call and they had a program they wanted me to write about and they were very excited about it. And I would say, as I began to investigate it, I'd say, well, you do know that such and such church over here is doing this. And
something similar.
A very similar program here and there. And what really bothered me, and I know this has been discussed before, are the turf wars between churches. I mean, instead of being able to lose that sense of it's ours and work together, there's a tendency to just do our little thing in our little corner as if no one else existed.
Yeah, so, Beth, you've gone from preaching to meddling
here. I know.
We're guilty of that. There's no doubt about that. And there's a sense of protectionism. And it's really unfortunate because we could do so much more collectively if some one person doesn't feel like they have to be the point person or the in the limelight.
I think Salvation Army is a good example. I think a lot of people cooperate with the good work that they do from different walks of life. Now, I also see that the people, the congregation themselves, are sometimes involved across denominational lines. But I also see that as the pastor of a church, you have a responsibility for that congregation. So there are some lines in there that it isn't easy to cross. So that I don't think it's necessarily wrong that you have your own programs, but what disturbed me that we don't care about or know about or want to find out about what others are doing, because we like to think that we're doing everything. Mm. And that's a human thing. It's the boundaries. Where are they? You know, how far do you push them? And sometimes between Christian churches, there are doctrinal issues involved. So I'm not saying everybody should do the same thing together. I just wish they saw themselves as part of the larger Christian picture. Mm. I do not believe that it's wrong to have different groups. We have different families in the human race. We are families of people, and to me, churches are families of Christians. And we're not going to all be on the same page on everything. But in some things, we must be.
You've written so many articles over the years, and I know the overwhelming majority, I think, would have been articles that would have had a positive connotation about appointments of clergy or the history or milestones of different communities, or you referenced like the Muslim holiday, and you've written about all those things. And mm-hmm. again, I would suspect overwhelmingly positive. As you look back, what was the hardest thing to write about? What was some of the stories that caused some pain or discomfort in you personally, but that you had to write about it objectively?
Failure on the part of Christians, whether it's a pastor who has done something wrong or whether it's a congregation, that pains me simply because I'm a Christian. But I found it difficult at first. I had to stop and really consider, how do I write about issues? One of the most common questions I get, how do you write about that? I know you don't believe that. And the second is similar. There is an assumption that I agree with it because I write about it. And neither, of course, is accurate. I try to be objective but truthful. One of the early things that happened when I wrote about the Mormons here, and I was really kind of taking an educational approach, which is kind of what I did, and I was doing it from their perspective. It was not my role to judge any group. It really wasn't. But I believe the reader has sense enough to judge the group if they know what they believe. And I did not believe it was right to go to the Catholics to ask about the Baptists, or to the Baptists to ask about the Catholics. So I decided early on that I needed to really be vigilant about putting my opinion into the story. Now, none of us is totally objective. That's just impossible. But as best I could, I tried to be fair and honest and let them present their story. And I believe the reader could make judgments.
I've heard it said, tell the truth and trust the people.
Exactly. That's an old Baptist line. My granddaddy used to say that.
Well, I don't know if it's a Baptist line, but we would sure claim it. You're listening to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts.
This is Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts, hosted by Ryan Price and David Cruz, and brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts, and we are sitting here today in the studio with Beth Pratt, who is the former religion editor for the Lubbock Avalanche Journal and continues to write a weekly column there for the AJ. And before the break, we were talking, Beth, about your writing and your work as both the editor and as a columnist. And that brings a question to mind for me, simply how it was that you got into this line of work. And I mean that not just in general for the newspaper, but the religion beat. How did you find this calling?
You know, I really didn't. It found me, and I think it was part of a larger plan, but I've always been cautious about saying that, because the facts are, it wouldn't have occurred to me probably. except that I was having a pity party one morning on the way to class. I went to school with my oldest sons and to Tech, rather, and took journalism because I was already writing a column for the library magazine that Southern Baptist put out. I was doing an idea column. I thought, I can do this, so I'll just take journalism. I'd always been I'm a reader, and I love the words. And I could always write pretty easily. So I took the easy way out, I thought, and went to journalism school. And I just stumbled into everything. There's a little book called God Winks, and it's what you think are coincidences are not really coincidences. Uh-huh. God's winking. And God had to be really weary of winking at me because it took a long time for me to get it. But I couldn't have done it otherwise because it's just an overwhelming job. It really is. And to think that I was able to do that 25 years and drive 120 miles a day to get here. I mean, there and back.
To commute
is just amazing. Yeah.
It's interesting to me that you could be so well followed. And I think it has something to do not only with kind of your homespun wisdom, your ability to connect with readers in a way that I think grabs all of us at the kind of root level. We have this common West Texas earth that we belong to, but also your subject matter. And I'm wondering, what is it about faith that has mattered so much enough to have its own person following the beat out here for 25 years?
I think that I actually think that well done, it would be just as riveting in any community in the country. People are religious by nature, I do believe. And I believe if you encounter the questions that they are asking, they're going to be interested. And when I was asked to take the job, I looked the editor in the eye and I said, if you want a little old lady to write church notices, I'm not interested. But if you want a real religion editor, I'll give it a try. He had to twist my arm a bit because I just was overwhelmed. And I don't know. I've always been interested.
It's
a part of me.
You've had some years since you were reporting on the Daily Religion beat. In retrospect, greatest lesson learned all those years?
Pay attention to your gut feeling. In every instance when I have known, I have had this feeling there's something wrong with this person, it may not be obvious. I had one man I could not figure out. He seemed afraid of me, and I couldn't figure that out. But I had another one burst into tears after an interview, one of my early interviews with a minister. And he said, you just don't know how relieved I am. You know what I'm talking about. He said, I thought some little teeny bopper was going to come in here and, scared me to death. Huh. And so I found there was fear and legitimate fear on the part of the religious community because so many people do what I call sneer journalism. They sneer at religion. And I took people at their word. I took them seriously. I knew, that they have a self-interest. I've never been a fan of any particular person. I've never thought that they knew any more than I did about personal faith. I do think, they had a lot more education sometimes, but I'm pretty well educated personally. I mean, I just make it my business to be. I'm not theologically trained. I think it was meant to be. That's all I know. It was meant to be.
Yesterday, we honored the graduating seniors from my church, and I was talking to them about Mr. Miyagi on The Karate Kid. If you recall, Daniel, the person, the young boy wants to come to Mr. Miyagi for karate lessons. Instead, what he gets is lessons on washing the car and painting the fence. And it turns out later on that all those motions and movements of washing the car and painting the fence are, in fact, the things that are necessary to be a good practitioner of karate.
And it's
all these things along the way end up shaping who we are.
They do, and they have. And I'm just blown away when I look back over the years and see how God prepared me, because I didn't have any idea. And so we shouldn't over-obsess about whether or not we get an... I always wanted to go to school. I couldn't afford it when I was 18, so I got married. That's what... And besides, I didn't think... In the 50s, women didn't need education. So that's what they thought. They were just going to raise kids. Well, I can't think of anything more important than raising kids, and I think you need a great education to do it, but I'm not sure you'll get it at college.
And probably a lot of faith, too.
A lot of faith. A lot of study.
Ryan, I'm so glad that we have had Beth on for two consecutive programs, and I'm kind of sorry that this is coming to an end, because I'm such a great admirer of Beth's, and not only the columns that she writes today, but the legacy of all of her years of covering religion in Lubbock. She has left her mark.
Beth, we do thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
You can catch this episode and also previous episodes with Beth and other guests on our website at ktz.org. You've been listening to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts.